They have an agenda. Coming to you from Riverside, California, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. And coming to you from Riverside, California, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. And podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is the Daily Show where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. And it's Epistle Sunday, so our reading will be 2 John. Calling today's episode, It's Okay to Say No. If you'd like to leave a comment on today's show, you'll want to go to lifespringmedia.com/S12E347. And as always, well, not always, huh? But for now, I think always, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. It's working again. So are you ready? Let's begin. 2 John. From the Church Leader. To the chosen lady and her children, whom I love because we share the truth. I'm not the only one who loves you. Everyone who knows the truth also loves you. We love you because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Goodwill, mercy, and peace will be with us. They come from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, who, in truth and love, is the Father's Son. I was very happy to find some of your children living in the truth as the Father has commanded us. Dear lady, I'm now requesting that we continue to love each other. It's not as though I'm writing to give you a new commandment. Rather, from the beginning, we were commanded to love each other. Love means that we live by doing what He commands. We were commanded to live in love, and you have heard this from the beginning. Many people who deceive others have gone into the world. They refuse to declare that Jesus Christ came in flesh and blood. This is the mark of a deceiver and an antichrist. Be careful that you don't destroy what we've worked for, but that you receive your full reward. Everyone who doesn't continue to teach what Christ taught doesn't have God. The person who continues to teach what Christ taught has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and doesn't bring these teachings, don't take him into your home or even greet him. Whoever greets him shares the evil things he's doing. I have a lot to write to you. I would prefer not to write a letter. Instead, I hope to visit and talk things over with you personally. Then we will be completely filled with joy. The children of your chosen sister greet you. 2 John is addressed to a very special woman and her children. Now, some commentators believe that this woman is actually a specific church and her children are the members of the church. In my opinion, it doesn't really matter whether it's a specific woman or a specific church. The message that John wrote is applicable to either or both. Well, this church or this woman is loved by John and many other believers, and John asks her to continue in loving. He's aware of her children and the fact that they're living according to God's laws, which include loving one another. Now, when this book was written, there were false teachers going around teaching such falsehoods that Jesus, being God, was not actually human. He said, they refused to declare that Jesus Christ came in flesh and blood. But beloved, to deny that Jesus came in flesh and blood, to deny that Jesus was fully human, that's a pernicious lie. That Jesus is fully human is a fundamental truth of the gospel. We can never abandon that truth. Why? Well, one reason is that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Or as one of the translations says, there is no remission of sin. So if Jesus was not fully human, there would have been no shedding of blood. So it's important that we realize that we believe that Jesus was fully God and fully human. Now, in light of the fact that these false teachers were going about teaching this false Jesus, John warns the woman to be careful and not let them destroy all that they've worked for and to not even invite them into her home or even greet them, because doing so would be to share in the evil that they were doing. So you remember 2 Timothy 3:16, right? All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So when John says in verses 10 and 11, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive them into your house and do not give them a greeting, for the one who gives them a greeting participates in his evil deeds. When John says that, I believe it. And I believe that is God telling me how to deal with people that teach that Jesus is not who he said he is in the New Testament. So, this is how I deal with Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons who come to my door. I don't invite them in, and I don't even engage them in a conversation. I take the teaching of 2 John verses 10 and 11 very seriously. I simply tell these people that I'm not interested, and I say goodbye. I don't even say, have a nice day. But Steve, you say, don't you tell them why? Don't you try to show them the truth? And my answer to you is, no. You see, these people are generally very well trained and prepared, whereas I'm just going about doing my normal activities. I'm not in the mindset to debate. And the truth is, these people are not really interested in having an honest conversation. They have an agenda, and a 10-minute talk on my front porch isn't going to change that agenda. Am I saying that I never share the truth with Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons? Not at all. But here's the difference. The door knockers are actively spreading their deceptions. They're evangelists for their cause. But there are Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons who are, shall we say, civilians. They aren't in the process of evangelizing for their group. Remember, in almost every case, you have to have a relationship with someone before you can really have a meaningful discussion about faith. And I've had these conversations with friends who were Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. I've done this. It's not that I'm against engaging them in conversation, but when they come to my front door, I take 2 John very seriously. What do you think? Have a comment? Let me know. Go to lifespringmedia.com/S12E347. Tomorrow, being Monday, we'll read from the Law, and our reading will be Deuteronomy 26 through 28.
Boost.
I'm recording this on Saturday, the 13th of August, in the afternoon. And this morning, Adam Curry posted something on his social media, No Agenda Social. And he said that today is the 18th anniversary of the first episode of his podcast, The Daily Source Code. As most of you know, Adam Curry is the guy who is credited with inventing podcasting. Yeah, for those of you that know the whole story, that's an oversimplification. But come on, Adam is the podfather. And The Daily Source Code was the first podcast I ever listened to. Adam and The Daily Source Code have a lot to do with me sitting behind this microphone right now talking to you. So do something for me, would you? It'll make you feel good and it'll bring some sunshine to Adam's day. Send Adam an email and thank him for his role in inventing podcasting. Tell him a little bit about what podcasting has meant in your life, and if you feel like it, mention me and or this show. I think that hearing from you would really be fun for Adam, so send it to adam@curry.com. And speaking of email, I got a few The Next Step emails this morning, and one in particular made me chuckle. This email is from Jane, and she said some nice things about me in the show, which I very much appreciated, Jane, but this is what she had to say for some ideas, for some next step ideas. She said, if you could somehow repurpose the daily Bible reading, that would be wonderful. That's the most important focus for me. I love your commentary about the day's passage. Maybe you could replay past reading passages and then do a commentary or even a periodic commentary, like Two Cents Tuesdays, or Friday Favorites, or Sunday Summary. I like those ideas, Jane. Then she goes on, she says, whatever you decide, I want you to know that you've made a difference in my life. And Jane, that makes me very happy. And then this is the part that made me chuckle. She said, looking forward to meeting you in heaven, hopefully in the near future. And I couldn't help but laugh at that. I know what she meant. She meant that hopefully we get to meet sometime in person. At least I think that's what she meant, or maybe she meant that she hopes we die very soon, but it just kind of made me laugh. Jane, thank you so much for your email. I'm glad the show's been a blessing to you, and I hope you don't mind me having a bit of fun with you here. God bless you. If you've not sent a The Next Step email to me yet, please do that. Send it to steve@lifespringmedia.com with The Next Step in the subject line. On this date in church history, August 14th, 1248. Rebuilding of the Cologne Cathedral, the largest Gothic-style cathedral in Northern Europe, began in Germany on this date. The cathedral was first built in 873, but was destroyed by fire. The rebuilding project was completed exactly 632 years later, on August 14, 1880. And then the cathedral was damaged again during World War II. My goodness, a 632-year project. Can you believe that? And then on this date in church history, August 14, 1810, Samuel Sebastian Wesley was born. He was an English organist and hymn composer. The grandson of Charles Wesley, Samuel Wesley composed more than 130 original hymn tunes, including Aurelia, or The Church's One Foundation. Prayer requests. Did you ever have one of those days? Who hasn't, right? Well, let's take it a step further. Did you ever have one of those weeks? Well, Kirsty has had one of those weeks. She sent me this email this morning. Dear Steve, so glad to hear your brother-in-law and Kathy are both doing well. I hope you're doing well, too. I keep forgetting to ask you if you're fully recovered after your own surgery. And the answer to that is, yes, I'm recovered from the surgery, but I still need to gain some muscle tone. I still need to get back in shape. I need to get some level of fitness, which I've lost from the 2 years of sitting behind this microphone doing the show, which is one of the reasons I'm bringing an end to the show at the end of August. And of course, you already know that if you heard the announcement. Okay, continuing Kirsty's email. We have had a week here in our household, I'll tell you. I've clung to Philippians 4:11 through 13 this week. I was meant to start my new job on Monday, but at 3 a.m., Ezra, which is her son, was in a lot of pain and by 8 a.m. was having emergency surgery. So I missed my first day of work, but he is recovered and almost 100% again now. Then, during the week, Seth, her husband, and Eliza, her daughter, both had minor surgeries, which were planned, on eye and toenail. But I also overslept one day, and I only just made it to work on time after being up all night with Ezra. Ha ha. So yesterday, she says, I was very happy that the week was back on track. I was going to be at work on time, and then I was rear-ended just a few minutes from work, and my car was totaled. Can you believe that? Talk about a week. Kirsty continues. But you know what? Through it all, the blessings have been poured out, and I can't help but praise him in the storm. Just a few examples being that no one was hurt in the car crash, everyone was insured, Ezra's injury happened during the night while I was home with him, it was a very time-sensitive issue that needs surgery within about 6 hours, and my first day on the job was really just a day to set up the rooms, so it wasn't critical for me to be there. So all four of us are a little worse for wear this week, but reminded that God is good all the time. My goodness, Kirsty, what a week you had. I'm so glad that God was there and he had his hand on you the whole time, but that's a week for the books. And then Lori O'Brien, Steve O'Brien's wife, Leanne's sister, sent this text out to the family this morning. When we left Steve last night, he had passed all the breathing tests they gave him, so they were able to remove the ventilator. But since that required him to be awake, they couldn't give him pain meds, so he was in a lot of pain. Once they removed the ventilator, they said they would give him more meds, so they were working on that when we left. It was hard to leave him, but he has such good care. I trust them. His nurse said that the first 3 days of recovery are the hardest, so it's going to be a rough few days. But I know God will help him. We decided to work in shifts today, so Stephanie, that's their daughter, took the first shift so I could get some sleep. And then a little while after Lori sent that text, Stephanie, their daughter, sent this text out. She said, Dad is up and in a chair. He took a short walk, walking in place this morning, and I crossed paths with his night nurse as she was leaving and she said he did great. It's a long path to recovery, but he's started the journey and he's doing great so far. So praise the Lord for that. Let's pray. Our Father God, you are worthy of praise, and we thank you for being with Kirsty and her family through all the problems. You are our protector, and you certainly did demonstrate that with them this week. We thank you, Lord, for that, and we praise you. We thank you again for seeing Steve through the surgery, and now we pray that his recovery will be quick and without any complications. Lord, I thank you for the emails that I've received so far from the LifeSpring family, and I ask you to lead me and guide me, Lord, as to what your will is for the future. Bless those that have emailed me, Lord, and each LifeSpring family member, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a praise or a prayer request, please do go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. Let me know. I'll pray for you in my private prayer time, and we'll pray together right here on the show. Comment on today's show at lifespringmedia.com/S12E347. Send an email to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com, and especially if you have not yet sent the Next Step email. Thanks to the team, Kirsty, who sends out the newsletter, Sean of San Pedro, who does the chapters. So if you have a modern podcasting 2.0 compliant podcast app, you get to see the artwork change as we go from chapter to chapter. And I thank Denise, who corrects the transcripts for the episodes. Thank you for sharing time with me today. And this is a Value for Value podcast. If you've gotten anything from this podcast over the year, put a number on that, assign it some value, whatever value you think is fair, whatever value makes sense to you, and go to lifespringmedia.com/support and send some of that value back to me. If you believe that the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is filling a need, if you're glad it's here, lifespringmedia.com/support. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
Aha!